Welcome to Creature Feature, production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host of Mini Parasites, Katie Golden. I studied psychology and evolutionary biology, and today on the show, we're talking turkey. It's that time of year when everyone puts a turkey inside their mouth. This year, I know a lot of you responsible folks are modifying your normal holiday season to be safer by staying isolated. But we don't have to isolate from turkeys, so I'm going to invite a whole flock of turkeys into your home. We're going to talk turkey facts, turkey romance, turkey history, and alternative turkeys. Discover this and more as we answer the age-old question, is that a snoot on your forehead or are you just happy to see me? Joining me today is comedian and creator of the Audible original, Like Mother, Allison Stevenson. Welcome!
Hi!
I am excited to have you. I've been following you on Twitter for a while and you're very funny and this is a dream come true.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So we are talking about turkeys today. What's your relationship with turkeys?
You know, not a strong one. I'll admit, I never really had like a lot of, I mean, it's kind of sad, but I think everybody's biggest relationship with turkey is Thanksgiving. And I never had that many like traditional Thanksgivings growing up. My mom's very Jewish and like she always associated Thanksgiving to be like a Christian holiday. She didn't really view it as like non-denominational. So she'd always be like, why would we do that? We're Jewish. Like that's just not, we don't do Thanksgiving. And so that was kind of like the turkey thing, and I didn't really have a lot of turkey in my life, I guess, as a meat, as a food.
I would say as a food, I don't want to be too controversial here, but I don't think it's like the best meat, to be honest.
So I would agree with that.
You know, it's really hard to make without turning it into chalk. I think it is an interesting thing because we have this relationship with turkeys, which is they're the food animal. Or sometimes we make pictures of them using our hand and trace our hand. And it's like, that's a turkey. But turkeys have a whole other life to them that I think is important to know. And especially if, like, we're going to eat them, I think it's like, you know, it's important to know the animal that we use and like how important they are and some of the dangers that they've faced and what their lives are like. How can we have something that we glibly call Turkey Day without really getting to know the turkey as an individual? So I'm going to, this whole episode, we're going to talk about turkeys. Part one, we're talking about turkey facts, just straight up turkey facts about traditional turkeys that we know and love. The wild turkeys of America, which I say America not because I'm like USA focused, because it is actually from the entire continent of America. Wild turkeys evolved over 11 million years ago, and the first evidence of domestication was around 2,000 years ago in Central America. Which, you know, so these birds have been around a lot longer than dumb colonists decided to like, hey, let's just do a holiday where we put our hands on a piece of paper and trace it on construction paper.
Right. I wonder what a turkey would think looking at a hand drawing of a turkey.
Mm.
What their take would be on that representation of themselves.
I mean, if cartoons are anything to go by, all you need is a little, like, bow and some long eyelashes, and the male turkeys are going to be sexually attracted to it, no matter, like, how shoddily created it is. So the Latin name of the turkey is Gallo Pavo, which means chicken peacock.
Oh,
which,
okay.
You know, look, I think it works.
Yeah.
All right, if you're not convinced, I think we should look at another species of turkey, one that's less known, which is called the oscillated turkey. Now, Allison, I have shared with you an image of this turkey. This is a turkey that is beautiful, bright, vivid colors like iridescent green and powder blue, kind of like peacock colors. It's got this bright blue head and bright red rings around its eyes. And these bright orange, what are, they look like warts. They're actually called caruncles.
It's like chicken pox chic.
Yeah, yeah. They do kind of look like ornamentation because they are. They're meant to be attractive. So caruncles are fleshy, warty growths that you'll find on turkeys. And for the ocellated turkey, these bright orange warts on the males' heads are sexually attractive to the females. And the brighter they are, demonstrates their physical health to the females.
I wish this is how it was for people because my acne would be super hot.
You know, I genuinely wish that we could get past this idea that like, oh, acne is like, you know, is unattractive. It's normal. Everyone gets it.
Totally, you know? Normal. Yeah, yeah.
And like, I'm looking at this turkey with these big, bright orange bumps all over its face. And I think it's cool. I think it's a good look.
I think it is, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, some are a little nicer than others, I'll admit.
Right. You can have your taste in like turkeys, like in, which ones you find more attractive.
In which turkey you're more sexually attracted to.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even are what most people know to be the turkey. So not just the ocellated turkey, but the wild turkey found in the U.S. and North America also has caruncles. So it has, the you know, all those bumps all over its face, which are also sexually attractive to the females. Also a feature of the turkey is the snood. Guess what part of the turkey is the snood?
Is it that neck thingy?
Close, close.
Oh, okay.
The neck thingy is the wattle. So the snood is that like big dangly phallus-like thing that hangs off of its beak. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, let me add an actual turkey picture or a North American turkey picture. Can I get one high res turkey snood, please? Just like one.
If I had a nickel.
Yeah.
For every time
Googling
I found myself.
Googling high res turkey snood. All right. That was an adventure, but I found you the most attractive turkey I've ever seen in my life.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So the snood is that flap of skin coming. It looks like it's coming from between its eyes and down its beak. And it's just this long pendulous sort of phallus of skin. And it is.
You were not joking when you said phallus. It looks like this turkey's beak is not circumcised.
Well, I mean, the comparison does not stop there because these snoods can actually become erect. So
are you kidding me?
No, when they are sexually excited, it will fill with blood, turn a brighter red, and become engorged. So, you know, a little bit of a face wiener.
Oh, my God. So if you call him a dickhead, it's actually a compliment.
Yes.
That's perfect.
Exactly. So the longer the snood, the healthier the male in general, which is, you know, I mean.
That's what I like to think as well.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I'm sorry, men, but if you don't got a snood.
You snood, you lose.
You snood, you lose. No snood, no mood. So in addition to the snood to attract females is the wattle. So the wattle is that gathering of bare flesh at the turkey's neck, that just brilliant red globular beard of wrinkled flesh.
Oh, my and Lord.
The lady turkeys love it. It's just so attractive to them. You see a guy with a good beard, it's like, hey, that's nice. I like that beard. It's a nice beard.
Sure.
But just imagine that, but it's made out of flesh.
It's like if a beard and a ball sack became one.
Yeah, it's a bit scrotal. It is a bit scrotal. I will admit that.
It is a tad bit.
And it's typically bright red and scarlet, and it gets brighter and redder when the males are trying to attract a mate. So that's cool. Wattles also have, over just sort of their sexual function, they also help cool the birds down by creating some bare skin surface area where heat can dissipate. So, you know, just kind of like, just got to air out your wattle to stay cool in the heat. I know, I do that.
Yeah, yeah. I can get a wattle sometimes if I'm...
just gotta, just like, if you hold your neck back, you know, that, like, there's that little thing.
My chin is just like a little too relaxed. My waddle. Waddle's showing. Yeah.
And here's another cool turkey fact. If you thought you could escape the podcast without learning about turkey poop, you were wrong. So turkey poops come in hims and hers. So female turkey poops come in curly spiral shapes. Male poops come in long strands or fish hook shapes. So so male and female turkeys are pretty sexually dimorphic. Like, female turkeys are browner. They don't have all these like weird erectile snoods and super red engorged wattles. So you can like tell them apart. But if you really want to tell the birds apart just by their poop alone, you can. Congratulations.
Wow.
You find curly poops, it's a female. You find long poops, it's a male.
Well, I mean, maybe you're about to go into it, but why, how is it, what, how does that, why?
Well, it is due to the shape of the cloaca. So birds, they got cloaca. It's the hole that does it all. So both males and females have a cloaca that they use for sex, peeping, and pooping. Female turkeys lay eggs, so their cloaca is stretchier, and when they poop, because their cloaca kind of stretches out, it allows the poop to clump into little spirals, whereas males have narrower, less stretchy cloacas because they do not lay eggs, and also their penis takes up a good amount of space when sheathed in the cloaca because, like, you know, male birds, they do have penises, but they're like tucked in the cloaca unless they're having sex. So, yeah. So, like, because there's basically max capacity in the cloaca. And so when you have one hole that does it all, it is efficient, but storage can be an issue.
Right.
So basically their poop comes out a lot narrower and straighter because it's being squeezed out of a tighter cranny.
I'm so glad I know this. Really?
You're very welcome. Welcome to the show, Allison, your first creature feature.
Yeah, no, this was a wonderful way to be introduced to this. Yes.
Yeah.
What was it? A cloaca?
A cloaca. All birds got them. It's the magical hole that does it all.
I love it. It's like a sales pitch.
It's and it's like, it's not just birds, it's reptiles. So yeah, it's you know, we are actually, mammals are kind of weird for having more than one hole if you think about it.
I've always thought that.
Yeah,
I've always thought we got too many. Gotta consolidate.
A myth about turkeys is that they are flightless birds because they look like they shouldn't fly, right? They're these big chunky things with like weird snoods and waddles just going around, but they can actually fly. So, and they can also run and swim. So these are like bird athletes. Yes. So they can fly up to 50 miles per hour, which is about 80 kilometers per hour. They only fly for short distances. They don't do long distance flying that much, but they can fly like a little while. Yeah, like for a few minutes.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah. Yeah. They can also run up to 12 miles per hour, which is about 19 kilometers per hour, which I think is probably more than me, which is bad news if I'm faced with a turkey.
Yeah. If you had to race one.
Right. Or escape one. And you're also not going to be safe if you try to escape a turkey by diving into a lake, because turkeys can swim by folding their wings and kicking their back legs. So
this isn't, like, I never knew that. I always thought of them as pretty defenseless animals.
Right. Oh, no. No, we're going to talk about it later, but they are certainly not defenseless. In fact, yeah, it's some people who share areas with wild turkeys probably know how aggressive they can be.
Ooh.
And frankly, kind of scary because, you know, like you think about when you have a whole turkey, right? Like the big Thanksgiving turkey. Mm-hmm. I mean, that usually comes from a pretty young turkey and it's huge. Like that's,
oh, yeah.
Now imagine that covered in feathers with the head and legs attached.
With a waddle. With
claws, and a waddle and a snood. Waddle.
Ugh,
just like quivering with anger. So before we go to break, I do want to play some turkey sounds because of course we know the classic turkey gobble, which I wish I could do a good turkey gobble. Unfortunately, I'm actually really bad at doing bird sounds. I know it's like incongruent with my brand as like a bird lover, but I just can't. I can't do human accents and I can't do bird sounds that good. It's
we all have our flaws.
It's really cramping my style both as a comedian and as a bird lover. So it's like, oh, you're a bird lover who's a comedian, but you can't do accents and you can't do bird sounds. Well, all right. But I think this is their classic sound. Classic turkey gobble. But they also do other sounds. They do purrs. They do clucks. Here's a sound. I think this one's a purr. Let me make sure. They're angry little kittens.
Aw, that does seem like a hard, in your defense, it's a difficult sound to imitate.
Yeah,
the throat work involved.
But, yeah, I don't have a waddle, and I don't have a snood. And then this is another call. I think we're starting to get into like Jurassic Park noises, and it reminds you like, yeah, these are dinosaurs. They're literally,
yeah.
I mean, birds are literally dinosaurs. We know the whole turkey like gobble noise, but then once they start making these chirps and weird sort of dinosaur-like noises, it's like, oh yeah, they're dinosaurs that we just pretend that are never going to rise against us. And here's an alarm call. A little underwhelming, I have to say. It's like when I thought of a turkey alarm call, I'd think like basically a car alarm screaming at me.
It's very subdued.
But yeah, it's just sort of like a pop. Yeah. Before we go to break, I'm going to try to do a turkey gobble, but then you also have to try to do one too.
Okay.
Is that fair?
I'll give it a shot. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, no judgment. Like mine is not going to be that great either. So
yeah, mine's going to be awful.
I'm going to try to, like, create a waddle for myself and, like, grab my throat skin.
Okay, I'm going to steal your method.
Okay, give it a shot.
What?
That was good! I feel like that's better than mine. Let me try mine again. Wait, but yeah, getting the, if I get the tongue action in there with it, it starts to sound a little better, like.
Oh, that was good. That was pretty good.
There we go. That's pretty good.
I feel like we're
going to start attracting turkeys to us, so.
My window just forced turkeys show up.
You look outside,
their
there's a
all
bunch
wrecked.
Of, bunch of horny turkeys.
I mean, at this point, I've been pretty shut in. I've had no action for 8 months.
They say we have to be isolated from other humans, not from turkeys.
There you go.
Dating tip from Creature Feature. Needless to say, our relationship to turkeys has been complicated. We love turkeys, we love to eat them, and we nearly drove them to extinction in North America. It wasn't until the 19th century, however, that they became associated with the holidays. Before then, pork was a more popular holiday food, as it was a more rare source of meat, whereas turkey were eaten year-round. To great consequences, as we will soon discuss. Alice, Allison, have you heard that story about how Benjamin Franklin wanted the official United States bird to be a turkey?
I don't think I have.
So there is this story that, well, like I said, Benjamin Franklin wanted the official USA bird to be the turkey instead of the bald eagle. And it is, the idea is taken from this quote from Benjamin Franklin himself, where he says, "For my own part, I wish the bald eagle had not been chosen as the representative of our country. He is a bird of bad moral character. He does not get his living honestly. For in truth, the turkey is in comparison a much more respectable bird, and withal, a true original native of America." So, I think, like, I read this thing about, like, how true was it? Like, was he really a champion of the turkey to be the symbol of America? And it's unclear. I think, like, he did genuinely dig the turkey as a symbol. Mm-hmm. I don't think he didn't run like a super hard campaign against the bald eagle as a symbol. But really what the actual story is actually really interesting, because the reason he lashed out at the eagle was the bald eagle was being used symbolically amongst these like nouveau aristocrats in early America that Benjamin Franklin really disliked strongly. So the Society of Cincinnati, a group of officers serving under George Washington in 1783, wanted to establish a nepotistic hereditary order of merit passed patrilineally from oldest son to oldest son, and they wanted the eagle to serve as their symbol. And Benjamin Franklin scoffed at them for being an aristocratic institution and for like hoity-toity symbolism, and like he really bristled at all that. And great, so we never did it again.
Oh, man, this is making me rethink the eagle.
Right. I mean, to be fair, I think bald eagles are super cool. There's a lot of gender parity. Like, when they're selecting a mate, they both compete for each other. And then as they're flying in the air, once they've found a mate, they lock claws together and go into a death spiral towards the ground to make sure that each one of them is like metal enough to truly be their partner. And then they are monogamous. So it's like, it's really cute.
So it's nothing like being a woman dating in her 20s.
The turkey's whole system is a little different from the bald eagle. Like, I am going to talk about turkey romance. So do not worry. I know everyone's like holding their breath, like, please, please talk about the sex lives of turkeys. If you do not, I will never listen to your podcast again. But no, we will talk about the sex lives of turkeys, so please do not leave me an angry review. But yeah, so I think it is interesting that Benjamin Franklin was like, we should have the turkey as this down-to-earth symbol. Like, he was kind of worried about the symbol of the eagle being used to like pump up the egos of nepotistic sort of aristocratic institution.
Man, I think he was right.
Yeah, but of course we don't have that problem in America, do we, folks?
It's like, wait a minute. It's like everything's coming together. All the webs are connecting. Like, oh my, this is how Trump happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the eagle.
I do wonder, like, if the psychology of America would have been different had the turkey been our national symbol, right? Like
it could have been.
Would we have started so many wars if our national symbol was the humble turkey?
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so.
I don't know. I think it would have kind of been like a little more humble and a little more like, hey, you know what? We don't have to be badass. Having warts on our face is fine. Like, you know, just like a little more chill.
We would be a much better society, I think.
I think so.
We'd be more giving.
I think so. Yeah,
exactly. It'd be Thanksgiving every day.
We would decimate the turkey population. Yeah. Actually, we almost did, which we'll talk about right now, actually.
Perfect.
Wild turkeys in the U.S. were almost hunted to extinction at one point. Another thing I think people are not aware of. They had been driven to extirpation, which is like a local extinction. So when an animal is driven out of an area and no longer found there, but it still exists in other locations, like that is called extirpation. Mm. So this happened in Connecticut and Vermont in the early 1800s. And by the 1930s, they were extirpated in 18 states and their population was down to 2% of its original size. from 10 million wild turkeys to only 200,000 due to hunting regulations starting in the 1940s to 50s and conservation efforts where conservationists would release wild birds into areas that they had been driven out of. Their population is starting to recover and actually has partially recovered. Now there are about 6 million wild turkeys in the U.S. So that's a bit of a conservation success story. I mean, it's far, like, we still haven't reached 10 million turkeys for the turkey reckoning to happen, but we're almost there.
Is that the number that needs to be met for the turkeys to...
It's critical turkey mass for the uprising, and I, for one, welcome it.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah.
It would be another thing on the, if it happened in 2020, it would be like another, like, yep. That makes sense.
I feel like humans had our shot to run society. I'm ready for turkeys to run our society for us.
I love the idea of dinosaurs coming back to be in charge of Earth. It's just turkeys and chickens.
I, no joke, was thinking about running a D&D campaign like that. I may still do it, so we'll see. Speaking of turkeys getting their revenge, in Massachusetts, there is revenge of the turkeys. Revenge of the Turki? Yeah, that sounds right. Hmm. That sounds Star Wars. Star Wars with turkeys. Turkeys can be very, let's say, assertive. Some might call it aggressive. I would say confident. Mm-hmm. Male turkeys have a social hierarchy that they establish through acts of dominance. So, like, you may have heard of a pecking order. This is essentially what that is. So, typically you have a group of male turkeys called gobblers. Sorry. Trying to have a serious discussion about turkey hierarchy. And, like, the male turkeys called gobblers associate in familial groups, amongst which there is one dominant gobbler. Let's do a nature documentary like that.
Our new Attenborough.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I want to hear Attenborough say gobbler. Gobbler.
The gobblers.
Beautiful sight of the magnificent gobbler. So the dominant male is the most successful at mating, whereas the less dominant males are basically waiting for their chance to become the top turkey at some point. So by coming together, actually, these groups of related turkeys have a better chance at passing on their genes than when they are just working alone. Females also have a social hierarchy, but unlike the males, where their social hierarchy is constantly changing, like someone's going to be on top, the next day the other person's on the bottom, which is how I imagine like Real Housewives was. Never watched the show, but I assume it's similar to male turkeys like fighting for dominance, where it's like 1 week Bethany's...
I would say that's pretty accurate.
Right, 1 week Bethany's on top, the next week Cheryl. Bethany's the only name I know from the show.
There is a Bethany. I've seen a few different ones, and you're pretty accurate.
Is there a Cheryl? Sharon? Megan?
I'm pretty sure there's a Sharon.
Tiffinal.
Tiffinal? Tiffinal's very controversial. She says what's on her mind no matter what. No.
Essentially, male turkeys have like a reality show of turkey dominance, whereas female turkeys, they'll establish something of a pecking order, but it's very stable. Like, they don't have to kind of like fight for dominance as much because, you know, they get to, there will be multiple female turkeys mating with one dominant male.
Oh.
However, when they interact with humans, they feel the need to bully us into submission. So, if you have ever encountered wild turkeys, you may know that they can be quite aggressive, quite assertive, and, you know, always trying to fight.
Hold my waddle.
Hold my waddle. He's like flipping his snood back over his shoulder so he can fight you. Animal control suggests that when you are interacting with wild turkeys, which try not to, first of all, I think that's like the number one. Try not interacting with wild turkeys is number one. But if you find yourself interacting with wild turkeys, be confident around aggressive turkeys. Make loud noises and assertive movements and never turn your back on a turkey. Don't do it. First
of
all,
like you're joining the mob or something.
First of all, they are going to immediately say mean things about you the minute your back is turned, and they'll possibly attack you.
Believable.
In Brookline, Massachusetts, there was a typo on the town's website where they wrote, quote, being aggressive towards wild turkeys is recommended by state wildlife officials. They meant to write, quote, being aggressive towards wild turkeys is not recommended by state wild officials. But for like a little while there, everyone in the town of Brookline, Massachusetts is like, all right, it's on. It's on you,
oh,
turkeys.
Oh, my God. Especially in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
I could see so many drunk men trying to fight turkeys.
You want to go with me, turkey? You want to go with me? Really? Pack your turkey butt and have it yard.
Yeah, there you go. That's not a bad. That's a pretty good accent.
I spent some time there. While it is not suggested that you be aggressive towards the turkey, do not be the instigator. But if the turkey starts a fight with you, be bold, make loud noises. Just don't try to fight the turkey. You know, try to de-escalate with the turkey.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
Turkey, listen, bro. Calm down. Think about it. Think about what you're doing, man.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. And, so, you know, it encourages knowing the difference between being assertive and being an asshole. Like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, you can say what's on your mind and not be mean.
Right. Right. You don't. You can stand up for yourself with a turkey, but you don't have to escalate the situation with a turkey.
100%.
Yeah.
I like that. I feel like turkeys should be like in these corporate sort of conventions or something. Where they're doing workshops on how
never turn your back on me, number one. That's number one. Number two, closers get corn. Corn is only for closers. Number three, make sure your snood's out.
Snood's out always.
Have big snood energy. I want to see big snood energy.
Tony Robbins kind of figure. Yeah. Turkey Robbins.
Gobbling is good. The presidential pardoning of a turkey may seem like a strange tradition, but it wasn't always that way. Since 1947, the National Turkey Federation has presented a turkey to the president, not to pardon, but to slaughter and eat. It was only until 1989 when the tradition of officially pardoning a turkey began. However, before then, Jimmy Carter, Richard Nixon, and JFK all informally pardoned their turkeys, sending them to petting zoos. Of course, the official pardoning of turkeys raises the question, did all those other turkeys get railroaded? When we return, we're going to talk about a weird alternative turkey you may have never heard of unless you live in Australia. There are only two species of actual turkey, the wild North American turkey and the oscillated turkey found in Mexico. Oscillated turkeys were domesticated in ancient Mexico and were, and still are, a common food in the region. Oscillated turkeys are remarkably similar to their North American cousins, other than their more vibrant appearance. They also have a slightly more distinct gobble, sounding something like this. But to find a truly strange so-called turkey, we have to travel to Australia. Alright, so a lot of people, you don't want to just go with the conventional thing, right? Like the conventional turkey. You want an alternative turkey. Alt turkey. Mm-hmm, so I'm going to talk about an alternative turkey for you guys to enjoy. Not to eat, I don't think, but to enjoy visually.
Actually, what is, we only eat one kind of turkey?
We eat, well, no, I don't think so. I mean, like, we eat mostly domesticated farmed turkeys. And they actually can look different from wild turkeys. We do eat wild turkeys. So wild turkeys are hunted and eaten. A lot of the, like, of course, like, there's a lot of regulations around that. Like I said, like, they were almost hunted to extinction in the U.S. But now you can still, I think, hunt for wild turkeys as long as it's regulated and you get a license for it. And there's, like, a bag limit. But turkeys are also farmed. And actually, farmed turkeys do not look like wild turkeys. They actually have white feathers. And this is so when the farmed turkeys are plucked, if they leave feathers on, it doesn't look as bad. Like when you, like basically the white turkey pin feathers are less visible on a turkey carcass. So for consumers, it's like less alarming. Like, hey, this used to be a bird. I wasn't expecting that with the feathers. Actually, that's why in our bizarre tradition of pardoning a turkey, like that turkey, it tends to have white feathers. It doesn't look like the basically the colorful traditional turkey you think of, because that's what a farmed turkey looks like.
Interesting.
But if you just want an alternative turkey to kind of rock to, you know, I want to talk about the Australian brush turkey, also known as the bush turkey, also known as the scrub turkey, which just makes me think of like a scrubs turkey.
Yeah.
Like Zach Braff and Donald Faison, like as turkeys.
I thought of TLC, No Scrubs. I thought of a turkey who thinks he's fly.
I mean, these turkeys are a little fly, if I might say so myself. So these are found in the forests of eastern Australia. They are beautiful birds with black feathers, red bear faces and necks, and males have a bright yellow scarf at the base of their neck, which is, it's made out of skin, I'll be honest with you. It's a big flap of wrinkly yellow skin. And this is the wattle for these birds, but it looks like a fetching scarf to me, like a silk scarf.
It does.
It is very, or like a boa. Like it's like a weird reverse boa, because like the rest of the birds are covered in feathers except the neck part, which looks kind of like a boa, which doesn't actually have any feathers on it. It's just skin. So it's like an invert. It's a skin boa.
It's like a nice little statement piece.
Yes, exactly. These wattles become even brighter during mating season, and they swing from side to side as the as these birds kind of like jog around, which just, I love the visual, you know? It's a statement.
Yeah.
It's a powerful, powerful look, these birds. Kind of like their feathers are black, so it's sort of like formal from the neck down, and then from the neck up, it is glam.
Yeah, they do seem a little more subtle. They're a little more like a classic sort of...
Yeah, sort of like a theater person who's like got sort of a kerchief and a nice blazer.
Definitely, yeah, that's the vibe.
So... while these are called turkeys, they're actually not super closely related to the turkeys found in America, including both the wild turkey of North America and the oscillated turkey, which is found in Mexico. But these turkeys, so they're in the same order as turkeys phylogenetically. So Galliforms is the order that contains turkeys, chickens, pheasants, quails, partridges, peacocks, and a lot of other ground-feeding bird species. Turkeys are in their own family, so like our wild turkey, oscillated turkeys are in their own family, whereas these Australian bush turkeys are in a different family. So they're not that closely related. They're like the wild turkey in America is as closely related to a quail, actually more closely related to a quail than they are to the Australian bush turkey.
Would it be like a brother-in-law sort of relation? Like,
yeah, maybe like sort of like a second cousin twice removed that you see like once every other year and like your Facebook friends, but you don't, you know, really talk and interact that much on Facebook. And you're pretty sure they only like message you on your birthday because Facebook sent them a reminder and they click the button that like does the automatic birthday message.
Right. No personalization. Happy birthday. Moving on.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And like they've said LOL to one of your posts in 5 years.
Yeah. There we go.
That's like their relationship.
Okay. Okay.
But despite the Australian brush turkey not being a true turkey, I suppose, they do look a bit like a turkey.
Yeah, they
have this similar body shape. They're actually a bit smaller. They're actually quite a bit smaller than the wild turkey. A little over half as big. But one of the cool things about these turkeys is their turkey society, which to me is way cooler than the American Turkey Society. So Australian brush turkeys play a turkey version of Game of Thrones. So a dominant male will build a huge turkey castle, which is actually just a giant mound of leaves, earth, and other forest materials. It's like this basically a compost heap, which is like the turkey throne.
Okay.
And these turkey thrones can reach up to 5 feet high, which is about 1.5 meters, and 13 feet wide, which is about 4 meters.
Wow.
And if you have a big pile of a big turkey mound, big turkey throne, females will love you and they will flock to the turkey mound to mate and lay their eggs in the mound. So in the game of turkey mounds, you win or you don't.
Yeah.
Fly.
That also feels very Real Housewives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like whoever has the biggest mansion wins,
right?
Sort of a thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Right. Turkey cribs.
Turkey cribs. There we go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's just like, this is where the magic happens, and it's a pile of leaves.
A pile of leaves. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So, because building the mound is so time and energy consuming, and he must defeat constant challengers to his throne, fighting off rival males, dominant male only has a short reign over his royal pile of sticks and leaves and dirt before he will be overthrown by a younger, stronger turkey who will take over the mound, possibly add to it, build it up. So you just have this, like, you know, constant, like, fight for power, turkeys taking over.
Mm.
Turkey coos. I'm sorry. It's I didn't mean to, like, it's not a joke. It's like an actual turkey coo. You know, I'm not
not being topical.
I'm not being topical. I'm not trying to make a pun about turkeys going coo because they don't really.
Oh, gotcha. Trouble. Right.
No,
right,
but
right.
I wasn't trying to. So just ignore that. It's fine. So these compost heaps, which the turkeys love, are actually really good for their eggs. So females will lay their eggs within the mound and cover them up. And actually, because it's basically a compost heap, the temperature inside the mound is a little bit warm, and that helps incubate the eggs. The turkeys will actually test the temperature of the compost heap with their beaks. And if it's, like, too cold, they will add more twigs and leaf and dirt and stuff to keep their eggs warmer.
Hmm.
And there can be several females all using the same mound, and they can collectively lay up to like almost 50 eggs within a mound. So
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the big old nursery. And of course, like, for predators who love eggs, this is like an amazing place to try to scavenge for eggs.
This is like a buffet.
Right. Well,
it's like Sizzler.
Right, the Sizzler for goannas. Goannas are large lizards that are found in Australia. Some species can reach up to almost 7 feet, which is 2 meters in length. They are quite big. They are carnivorous. They love to eat eggs. Did you ever watch that movie, The Rescuers Down Under?
I think I did. I don't remember it very well.
With the little mice and the kid that gets kidnapped by a poacher and an eagle. A giant eagle that carries the kid around. And I always wished when I was a kid that a giant eagle would carry me around, but it never happened. So my dreams are crushed.
You might be thankful for that now, knowing what eagles are capable of.
I wanted to do a death spiral with the eagle, Allison.
Okay, understandable.
But there was this lizard that was like the pet of the poacher. And he would call this lizard the goanna. And I thought it was just like the name that he called this lizard. But it's actually the name of the type of lizard that it is. There's a bunch of species of goannas. And they are big old lizards. I think they're kind of cute.
So anyways, it's like naming your dog.
Yeah. Or even like more like naming your dog canine. Like even more generic than that.
Oh.
Like it's not even a specific species of goanna. Just like, hey, canine.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, it is like a direct to VHS Disney movie. So what can you say? So goannas will try to get some of these eggs. And it seems like, you know, like these pretty, not like huge birds, smaller than a turkey. Like, what's the problem? Well, the brush turkeys are extremely aggressive, and they will completely go ham on anyone trying to take their eggs. And there are goannas that actually have severe injuries that are found, like, with all these scars because of the brush turkeys just mercilessly pecking the hell out of them
because
they try to steal their eggs. So, yeah, it's I think we have come to basically the moral of the episode, which is don't fuck with turkeys.
Yeah. I believe that. Shoot.
Yeah. Yeah. That is yeah. If you learn one thing from this podcast, it's don't screw around with turkeys.
Do you not?
No, it's just not. It's not a situation you want to be in. You don't want to put yourself in the situation of having to talk down a turkey that is about to attack you.
Hot-headed.
Right. Yeah. Any questions?
Well, I know not to fuck with turkeys, so that's good.
I think you got the main point.
I guess okay, there was one thing that I was wondering about when you were talking about the eggs. Could they be eaten like chicken eggs?
Sure. Any
bird
eggs.
Do people do that?
Maybe. Yeah, I think so, actually. People do eat turkey eggs. I don't know about probably brush turkey eggs. That happens sometimes. You know, they could be used as sort of like a local food source. I'm not too certain about it, but it seems
like possible.
It could. As long as you don't get pecked to death by them. Yeah. I mean, any bird egg can be eaten like a chicken egg because they all start out with
the
yolk. Yeah. Ostrich egg, you can make a giant omelet if you want. From a quail egg to an ostrich egg, you can make an omelet.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I have had quail egg.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty good.
I wonder with the hummingbird egg. I feel like if you had to make an omelet with a hummingbird egg, you would need to do it over like a tea light candle or like a lighter.
It'd be
just
so
like
tiny.
Put it in a spoon like over a lighter. Make a tiny hummingbird omelet. Don't eat hummingbird eggs, you guys. Don't do it. They're sweet and cute.
But I'd kind of like to see somebody try just because.
I'd like to see an episode of like Hell's Kitchen where they have to cook an omelet with an ostrich egg and then a hummingbird egg.
Yeah.
And then Gordon Ramsay just like berates them endlessly.
Yeah, I would watch that 100%.
Well, I think we've cracked the case on turkeys, don't you?
Yeah. I think so, too. Yeah, I've learned a lot.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on my turkey episode special. Where can people find you? Where can the turkeys find you?
Yeah. Any hot, eligible, single turkeys who want to find me, I'm on Twitter at justaboutglad.
And also, you have an Audible original, right? You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I wrote it and it's on Audible right now. It's called Like Mother and it's a scripted podcast, loosely semi-autobiographical based on my relationship with my mother. And it stars me and Susie Essman of Curb Your Enthusiasm. So pretty exciting. Yeah,
that is exciting. And you can find us on the internet at Creature Feature Pod on Instagram, at Creature Feet Pod on Twitter. That's F-E-A-T, not F-E-E-T. That is something very different. You can find me on Twitter at Katie Golden, K-A-T-I-E-G-O-L-D-I-N. You know, just for Katie thoughts, not always about animals, but sometimes about animals. Sometimes I do threads where I roast your pets. So, you know, look out for that. If you want to directly send me a picture of your pet or a question for the podcast or episode idea or whatever, you can email me at creaturefeaturepod@gmail.com. Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate it. I hope everyone is staying safe. Try to, you know, keep it safe this holiday season. You know, like COVID is still out there. It's still lurking. So yeah, just try to keep it safe, keep it tight, keep it personal.
Consider just ordering pizza and calling it a day.
Yeah. Save a turkey, order a pizza.
Yeah.
Thank you to the Space Cossacks for their super awesome song, Exolumina. Creature Feature is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts like the one you just heard, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or, hey, guess what? Wherever you listen to your favorite shows. See you next Wednesday. Okay, just one more. I'm going to do one more turkey gobble. Hang on. This is going to be the best one.
That was good!